Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
How's everyone doing this morning? Doing well? Come on, why don't we give Jesus another hand? There's no shortage of how many times we can praise our King, our God, but what a great week it's been. Help and Hope Week, you can take your seats. I love that we're part of a church community that doesn't just gather for ourselves, but we're here to bring impact. We're here to bring change. We're here to bring help and hope. And maybe you're new to faith or you're new to church and maybe you don't know anything about Jesus and this is your first time. I just want to say from my heart to yours, this is the best place you could be. This is God's house. And we just believe that when you come into God's house, you have access to the couch, you have access to the fridge, you have access to it. It's a home. So you can come and you can be yourself. You don't need to measure up. You don't need to have it all worked out. You don't need to have it all together. You know, you might have come in with some preconceived ideas of God. Whatever your ideas are, you got to know that God loves you, that God has a plan for you, that God has a purpose for you. And today is an incredible day. It's Palm Sunday, the start of Holy Week, the start of Passion Week, the start of really the week that changed the world 2,000 years ago. If you don't know, a man named Jesus came to earth. He wasn't just a man, but he was God. God came, he put skin on, and he walked among us, he lived among us. But Passion Week starts the very last week of his life. And Palm Sunday is the day that we really have an opportunity to refresh our hearts in the wonder of Jesus. Refresh our perspective in who he is. He's better than we could imagine. He's greater than we could hope for. The Bible says he's the desire of nations. And I believe today, like Pastor Nadia said before, that if we would exalt him, if we would turn our attention towards him, that we would see breakthrough. That this week we would see God move in incredible ways, in miraculous ways. So I'm believing for a great morning. Do you believe that? Can we give the team a hand? Incredible worship team leading us in, week out. But here at Life, we're people that believe the Bible. Can you say amen to that? We believe it's the infallible word, the word of God, that it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's 66 books in the Bible, if you don't know, and we believe all 66 books. But of those 66 books, there are four Gospels that record the life of Jesus. Those four Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they record really his whole life here on earth, what he did, what he said, how he lived. But in these 99 chapters of his life, Jesus lived his 33 years. Five chapters refer to the first 30 years of his life. Only five chapters you'll find. The last 3 years of his ministry have the remaining 84 chapters. But what I find incredible is that there's 29 chapters that speak of his last week here on earth. The week that we call Passion Week. The week that we call Holy Week. That's 33% of the Gospels. It's quite incredible. 33% of the Gospels speak of his last week, speak of Palm Sunday, speak of the week as he walks into Jerusalem as the King, speaks of the week where he had communion and he had the Last Supper and he goes to the Mount of Olives to pray before he gets led to his crucifixion. It's an important week. It's a week for us to reflect, to remember, to stop, to praise him. It's important that coming into this week, we realize that he's better than we could ever think. He's greater than we could ever imagine. That he's more able to do anything than we could ever have faith for. That he is higher, he's wonderful, he's mighty, he's incredible, and he's all we need. He's all we need. Father, today I just pray that as we step into this week, that you would afresh, God, speak into our hearts and speak into our lives, that we would see you, Jesus, for who you truly are. God, that the things of this world, as the old hymn says, would grow strangely dim as we look into your wonderful face. God, I pray you'd move in every heart this morning, God, that you'd lift our faith, you'd lift our expectation. In Jesus' name, everyone said? Amen. Well, we're going to be reading from Matthew 21, verse 1, if you have your Bibles this morning. It's the story of Jesus stepping into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Verse 1, Matthew 21 says this, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.'" Imagine just rocking up to a random place, car dealership down the road. I'm like, come on, boys, practical learners. Caleb, Jack. Easter production's coming up. We need a Ferrari. Donkey's not equivalent to a Ferrari. We need a Mazda. Sorry to all the Mazda people out there. I have a Mazda, by the way, a BT50. I don't love it, but I have it. And the Lord has sent us. We need the Mazda BT50 for the production. It's interesting that God sometimes sends us on a journey and just asks for our obedience. He doesn't ask for us to have it all worked out. He doesn't ask for us to go, you know what, this is the reason why. No, hey, God sent me. God has a word for me. God wants me to speak. Verse 4 says that this took place to fulfill what is spoken through the prophet. "Say to your daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks over the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds went ahead of them. And those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the prophet. What an incredible moment. The city of Jerusalem is going, hey, this is our king. This is the one who's come to save us. Hosanna in the highest. I don't know about you, but have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're unprepared for what's ahead? I'm the only one confessing this morning. Maybe like me, you got married. You're a man here, you got married. And all of a sudden, you just leave everything to your wife to look after, to prepare, to organize. She's better at that, so I leave it to her. I don't know about you, but that's sort of been my story since I've been married. And after COVID, we had a wedding that we were invited to. Some friends of ours had invited us to a wedding, and we had plenty of notice for this wedding. It was going to be a great time, and I was looking forward to it. But we got to the week of the wedding, and my wife's like, "Do you know what you're wearing?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'll be good. Got heaps of stuff in that wardrobe." She's like, "I think you need to go check what fits you." I'm like, "Relax, relax." I did a 5-day water fast from that point on. No. But as every man does, I left it to the last minute. And Thursday night, I thought, you know what? I better listen to her. I'll go have a look at what I'm wearing tomorrow. So I go into the wardrobe and I start trying on things. Who knows, after COVID, a few extra calories in that season felt nice to deal with it. And so nothing fit me. So I'm like, man, what am I going to do? I grabbed a pair of black jeans. I grabbed the shirt that wasn't buttoning up correctly. I walked downstairs and I said, "What do you reckon about this?" And my lovely wife said, "Oh my goodness, what has happened to you? Who are you? What did you do with my husband?" So she basically told me there was no way I was wearing that to the wedding. Next day I went, I bought something. Who knows that, you know, the pain of buying something new that, you know, you're probably going to awaken in that moment to lose a bit of weight, but you got to do it for the wedding, sort of hits you. So I did that, but, you know, so many times we can find ourselves not being prepared and not having access or not having the ability or not being allowed, in my case, to go to a wedding, to be in a place where you can have a celebration or in a place where you can move. And I think so many of us don't see God move in our lives. So many of us don't have access to what God is leading us into because we're not preparing our hearts. Because we haven't been in a place where we're going, God, I have prepared my heart for what you want to do. You know, Palm Sunday is the perfect time. Passion Week is the perfect time to come back, to realign our hearts, to prepare, to make way for the King, to be in a position where we're going, God, I want to exalt you in my life. God, I want to have a heart that's prepared. So we're going to look at a few things that can help us step into Holy Week this week. Actually, my message this morning, if you're taking notes, is called The King Has Come. When you turn to your neighbor, say, The King Has Come. But the first point is that we need to prepare the way. We have to prepare the way for the King in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. You know, it's a week where we need to resist the busyness of what's in front of us and pause, reflect, give God some space to speak, to remind ourselves of His goodness, to remind ourselves and celebrate the victory that He's won for us. That we don't live from a place just begging for victory from God. No, we can step into His victory. Because what God has done for us during this week, 2,000 years ago, is set us up for victory. I love what Matthew says in 21 verse 6. It says the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them to fit for Jesus to sit on. The crowd did the same thing. They spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. You know, Jesus just wants our ordinary. You know, their cloaks just represented their ordinary everyday life. It was their who they were, their reputation, their family, where they came from. That's what the cloak represented. God didn't say, hey, can you go get some royal robes out? Place them before me. He just said, place your cloaks. Would you place your cloaks? Would you place your ordinary? Cloaks, colts, and palm branches are just about Jesus taking our ordinary. I don't know about you, but I read this story and I go, it's a little bit underwhelming for the King of Kings. A little bit underwhelming for the Lord of Lords. But Jesus was intentionally entering into Jerusalem to show us that He is the King that gave Himself as a ransom for all. That He was the King who came to serve. That He was the King who came to humbly show us the way back to God. He wasn't the King that came to lord us over us. He wasn't the King that said, hey, you need to come measure up. No, He was the King that came to bring a way. He didn't come and bring a war horse. He didn't come with royal robes and trumpets because He wasn't coming to bring about a societal revolution. You know, many people thought that He was going to come and overthrow Rome, deliver the Jews at that time from the oppression that they were under. But the truth is that Jesus didn't come to bring a temporary solution to a temporary thing that was happening here on earth. No, He came to bring about a permanent solution. He came to save the souls of men. He came to bring about radical transformation. John 1:29 says this, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. We've got to behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. He removes our sin. He gives us a brand new start. See, palm branches, they speak, as Nadia said, Pastor Nadia said before, they speak of victory and triumph. Because He came to bring triumphant victory for us. The donkey speaks of peace and humility. Jesus came as the Lamb. He'll return again as the Lion, but He came as the Lamb. He came as the Lamb to bring about peace. You know, five ways Jesus could have ridden in those days. He could have come in on a war horse. That would have been expected for the King of Kings. A war horse would have been like really what a king should have ridden in on. But He didn't ride in on a war horse. A little bit lower than a war horse, you'd have a military horse. He didn't pick a military horse. He didn't pick a general horse. He didn't pick the donkey. Most people think that He actually sat on the fowl. Would have been a funny look, Jesus sitting on a fowl, a little fowl sitting next to the donkey. His feet would have been dragging along the dirt. Just speaks of God Himself in our dirt, in the world He created, in our mess. in our pain, in our suffering, that God himself came. And on his entry as king, he still showed that he was the king who came to be in our dirt. You know, the fowl carries the burdens of our everyday life. And that's what God wants. He wants our everyday life. Matthew 21:9 says, the crowds went ahead of him and shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. Hosanna. I don't know if you know what Hosanna means, but Hosanna is this declaration saying, save us now. Or in other translations, we pray, please save us. They were praising and crying out for salvation at the same time. This was the model. This was how we prepare our hearts to Jesus. Come on, let us never, ever get to a place where we're not crying out, Jesus, save me. Jesus, you're my salvation. Jesus, you're my rock. If it wasn't for Jesus, where would I be? But at the same time, Jesus, I've got to praise you. I've got to lift my voice for who you are. You know, the pattern of the Old Testament people is that they would find themselves in trouble. They would then cry out, saying, this Hosanna statement, save me now. God would deliver them, but then God would speak to them. And there would always be this gracious heart, but there would be this correction. And the correction was speaking to his people, saying, if you just lived in a place where you continued to cry out, would you save me? If you just lived in a place where praise didn't just come when the trouble came, but you came to a place where no matter circumstance or situation, your praise would be on my lips, I would be there. I would bring breakthrough. You would not find yourself in trouble. You would not find yourself straying away. See, preparing the way for God to move in our lives is to live with a posture of praise. In good times, in bad times, come on, we'll praise him. On the mountain and in the valley, we'll praise him. Come on, some of us need to see our pain as a platform to praise God from. That even when it hurts, come on, the Bible says that I will bring a sacrifice of praise to my God. You know, there's moments where in my personal life, I'd rather ask why than be in a position of praise. There's moments I'd rather feel sorry for myself than step forward. But I believe the key for us to walk in victory is to be in a place of praise. Is to continually step into a place of praise. In our loss, in our sorrow, when we're suffering, when it seems unfair, when it hurts, when it gets tough. Come on, Psalm 22 verse 3 says this, but you are holy and you are enthroned on the praises of Israel. Other versions say he inhabits the praises of his people. Come on, I want to be a people. I want to be a person that says, God, you will inhabit my praises. I'm going to have a praise for you to inhabit because it's not about convenience. It's not about circumstance. Come on, we praise because we have a conviction. In Luke's gospel, the Pharisees, they come to Jesus and they say, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Jesus says, I tell you this, if these guys become silent, if my disciples, if the crowd becomes silent, even the rocks will cry out. Come on, I want to be in a position in my life where I'm not letting rocks cry out for Jesus. Come on, circumstance, people, situations, the world, religious people will tell you to quiet down. But the Word of God says, come on, lift your voice. Lift your hands. Come on, we don't lift our hands because it's convenient or because it feels good or something we just do. We lift our hands because the Bible says that's the way to praise God. It's the way we worship him. We lift our voice. We lift our hands. We bow our knees. Come on, we'll raise a banner because he is good and he's worthy to be praised. Amen? Amen. Secondly, we've got to raise our expectation. We've got to raise our expectation. Someone say, raise your expectation. I believe God's calling us to raise expectation. Come on, we're going to be people who believe that God will move. Come on, that God's here to do something in our lives, that God will use us, that God is with us. Come on, our faith needs some expectation in the engine. Come on, when we're walking into our workplace, when we're walking into family environments that are a little bit dysfunctional, come on, when we're around friends that we know need a little bit of hope, come on, when we're doing Help and Hope Week, we've got to have a bit of expectation that God's going to speak, that God's going to use us. Come on, this week as we enter Passion Week, come on, believe that there's going to be people that are going to be met with the reality of who Jesus is, that are going to encounter his love, encounter his presence,
as we step into the production. Come on, who is on our heart that we're going, hey, you got to be there. This could be their moment. This could be their time. But we've got to live with an expectation. You know, I believe many of us lose expectation because we allowed familiarity to breed with our faith. I don't know if you've heard the phrase before, but it's been said that familiarity breeds contempt. But I wonder what fresh intimacy would breed. I wonder what a fresh expectation would breed. See, contempt is this. It's the feeling that a person or a thing is worthless or beneath consideration. Contempt is us lowering the worth, lowering the consideration, lowering the expectation. You know, the other day I was at home and Talia walks into the laundry and she yells out, "Really, babe?" And I'm like, oh, here we go. My brother was there and she goes, "I can't believe it." I'm like, "What's the matter?" She's like, "You're so close." I'm like, "Close? What do you mean?" She goes, "The washing basket is just there. Your clothes are on the chair next to it." I'm like, "It's pretty good." We live in a double story home. I walked, probably about 50 meters. We got close. She goes, "Star, come on, you can do better than that." As I was preparing, I felt like God say, "Hey, sometimes familiarity, it lowers our expectation. It lowers how we bring worth to things. It lowers how we exalt something." Mark 6:1, it's a great story of this. We'll pick it up in verse 1. Jesus is in his hometown, the Bible says, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles that he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. You know, some questions are great. Where did this man get this thing? What's this wisdom that has been given to him? Some questions come from a critical spirit and they bring down the honor. They took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives and in his own home." And he could not do any miracles there. This is the God of all creation. Could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Verse 6, he was amazed at their lack of faith. He was amazed at the lack of their expectation, the lack of honor, a limited mindset. You know, many scholars believe that in that context, they were really just having a stab at him, potentially saying, "This is just Mary's son." Yeah. And we know how he was conceived. Yeah. Back then, you would be known as your father's son. You wouldn't be known as your mother's son. You know, imagine that on Instagram today. There'd be people firing off at that, going, "Oh, here's the scandal. Mary's son now thinks he's a prophet. Mary's son, just the carpenter, thinks he can come in to his hometown and do incredible miracles." Come on, there was a lack of honor there. Yeah. How much did people miss out on? Because their expectation was low. Because their expectation, they didn't see him as he was. They didn't see Jesus as the miracle worker. They didn't see Jesus as the Savior. They didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. Come on, where do we need to bring a fresh expectation in God? Where have our mindsets become limited and narrow? Come on, where have we elevated the situation and the circumstance over the power of our God and the greatness of our God? Come on, where have we given up on trusting him? Maybe there's relational things that we've got in our worlds that we've lacked in our trust. Maybe financially. Maybe there's things generationally that have just happened round and round again and we're going, "Oh, we'll never break free." Come on, there's a different word God wants to speak over your life. The King has come. He's come to bring transformation. He's come to bring hope. He's come to bring about life. Come on, our faith's not about conjuring up some force or energy, but it's about trust. Trusting the word of Jesus over our circumstance. Trusting when it doesn't look like it's all going to measure up. Come on, we've got to lift our faith. We've got to lift our expectation because I believe He's here to bring miracles. He's here to bring salvation. He's here to bring hope. He's here to change our circumstance. Come on, what are we believing for? What are we leaning in? It's just a simple leaning God wants. It's just a simple Monday morning prayer that says, God, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm willing. Would you speak through me today? Would you give me an opportunity today? God, would you help me in my marriage? God, would you help me in my family? God, would you help me bring an answer to the things that are happening in my world? God, would you use me? Come on, those prayers, they're not insignificant. Those prayers, they start. It's like a mustard seed. They start. It brings expectation. It brings about the miraculous. Come on, where would we be in our lives if we just started praying prayers of faith? Where would we be if we started to lean in a little bit closer? Where would we be if we let intimacy breed something fresh in our lives? And thirdly, we need a fresh recognition of who He is. A fresh recognition of who He is. John 12:13, they took palm branches and went out to meet Him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Blessed is the King of Israel. It's the first time publicly that people called Jesus King. It's the first time they came to Him and said, the King is here. What's incredible about that is it's the week that the King came to do what He was going to do. It's the week where the plan and the purpose and the mission and the greatest miracle of all came to be, was when there was a recognition saying, Jesus, you're my King. Come on, who do we recognize here, Him as? Is He just a carpenter to us to help us build a good life? Is He just a good teacher, some good principles to live by? Is He Mary's son? Is He a good prophet? Or is He more than that? Matthew 16:13, Jesus is with His disciples in Caesarea Philippi. He was asking His disciples, He's asking the guys He's hung out with now for 3 years straight. You think you get it by then. But He still says to them, hey, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answer back, they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you yourselves say that I am? It's a great question. I think we always need to continue to ask ourselves, no matter where we're at on the journey, who am I saying that He is? Who am I saying that Jesus is? Do I have a fresh recognition that He's the King? Do I have a fresh recognition that He's Lord? Do I have a fresh recognition that He is healer? Do I have a fresh recognition that He's deliverer? I love Simon Peter. He pipes up and answers. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, by Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to come and give us a kick up the backside for a fresh revelation. Sometimes we got to get, Holy Spirit, would you just help me right now? Because I can't see past this storm. Holy Spirit, I can't see past this breakdown in relationship. Holy Spirit, I can't see past this failure. I can't see past this mess. Holy Spirit, I just can't see it. And the Holy Spirit will come and give you a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. He'll give you a fresh recognition that the King is here. He'll give you a fresh recognition that He's more than we could imagine. That He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's God in flesh. That He is, as He said of Himself, the light of the world when we're in darkness. That He is the bread of life. That He is the resurrection and the life. That He is the door. He's the good shepherd, the true vine. He's the way, the truth, and the life. When it seems like there's no way, He is the way. When it seems like truth is shaky, He is the truth we can bank our lives on. He is the life. He didn't claim to be anything less than this. Less than God. The truth is, Jesus is either Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. And we've got to continue to come back and just go, Jesus, You're Lord of my life. Jesus, You're Lord of my heart. Jesus, You're Lord of my mind. Jesus, I've got this offense right now, but you're Lord. Would you help me forgive? Jesus, I want to live in a way that pleases you. Would you help me keep the fear of God in my life? Would you help me know your love? Would you help me know your presence? Would you help me know your purpose? Come on, Jesus, I need a fresh recognition. Would you lead me? Would you guide me? A fresh confession can change everything. It's not just saying he is the king, but he's my king. It's not just saying he is God. Yeah, I believe Jesus is God. No, he's saying he is my God. Would the team come and join me? That he is my savior. Not just the savior. We don't just come to Easter to go, hey, we're going to stop with the rest of the world and go, he's the savior of the world, but he is my savior. He has saved me from my sins. He has saved me from my ways. He has saved me from my brokenness. He has saved me from an eternity of separation with God. He is my savior. He is my Lord. He is my light. He is my hope. He is my sure foundation. He is my strength. When my flesh fails, when I feel weak, he is my strength. He's my security, my peace. Come on, when we feel like anxiety is crippling in, it's time to have a confession. Jesus, you are my peace. You are my healer. You are my deliverer. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because we must come and believe that he is. We've got to come and believe who he says he is, because it's Jesus, and it's always been Jesus, and it'll always ever be Jesus. And I know it's Palm Sunday, but on Good Friday, we'll remember the power of Calvary, and we'll remember on Resurrection Sunday that he is the victorious king that conquered death, that conquered the grave, that conquered sin. And I don't know who needs to hear this today, but if you just got a fresh recognition of Jesus, if you just repositioned your eyes on Jesus, as Hebrews says, you just fixed your eyes on Jesus. It's not about leaving this room, striving to get perfect faith, and then you will understand. No, you just got to fix your eyes afresh. We're going to worship in just a moment, but if we just fix our eyes afresh, if we just exalted him in our heart of hearts, if we just came to a place where we said, God, I need you afresh. I want you afresh. Things would change. Deliverance would happen. Healing would happen. Things that we'd been bound in for years would become free and loosened in just a moment, because there is power in his name. Come on, I'd love us to stand. We're going to step into worship in just a moment, but Philippians 2:6 says this, who being in the very nature God, Jesus did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of the man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Come on, if you're hungry for a fresh touch from Jesus, we're going to worship. Father, I pray today, God, you'd give us a fresh recognition of who you are. God, I pray for a fresh expectation that you're here to move in power, that you're here to move in might. God, we say that you're better than we could imagine, but God, we pray, God, that you'd move right now in every heart, in every life, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, Jesus, we just say there is no one like you. This morning, we are fresh. Say we love you. We say we honor you. We say you're King. We say you're Lord. We say you're our God. We say you're our healer. You're our miracle worker. You're our deliverer. You're our Savior. And this week, God, at the start of Passion Week, God, on Palm Sunday, God, we say Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray this week that you'd lead us, that you'd guide us. God, I pray for miracles, God, in every life, God, that surrounds us, God, in our lives. Holy Spirit, that you'd move in power in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're thankful for Jesus? He is incredible. He's amazing. There's nothing like the power of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but maybe you've come here. It's your very first time, or you've been coming for a little while, or maybe for you, you're just coming back to an environment like this. The truth is that God loves you. He has an incredible plan for your life. He's got an incredible purpose for your life. And the gospel is, as we've sort of shared this morning, it's not about us getting it all right. It's not about us measuring up. It's not about us having no mess. In fact, it's us coming with our mess. It's us coming with our brokenness to the King who died upon a cross, the Bible says, to pay for our sins and for our brokenness. See, sin separates us from a holy God. But a holy God came and took upon our sin, died the death we should have died on a cross. The Bible said he was buried. He went into hell for 3 days, but on the third day, he rose again triumphantly, that whoever believes in his name, whoever confesses with their mouth, believes in their heart that he is God, that he's been raised from the dead, the Bible says that we'd be granted eternal life. More than that, we'd have a relationship with God. See, every other religion will give you a bunch of rules and regulations to measure up. Christianity says, no, just come as you are. Your mess is not too big. Your brokenness is not too much for God. In fact, if you come just as you are, the Bible says you'll have a brand new life, that you'll be forgiven of all your wrongs, that God will give you grace to live a brand new future. So I just love every person across the auditorium this morning, online, just to bow our heads, to close our eyes. I'd love you to ask yourself the honest question, say, am I in right relationship with God? And if you're not, you're in the best place you could be, because this morning, with one prayer, you can be connected back to God. You can have your sin forgiven and God give you a brand new life, a brand new future. On the count of three, I'm going to ask, if that's you, just to lift your hand and say, Danny, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. One, he loves you. Two, he has a plan for your life. Three, if that's you this morning, why don't you lift your hand high to heaven? Say, God, here I am. I want to give you my life. I want to give you my heart. Incredible love. God sees your hand. So good. Maybe your heart's going a million miles an hour right now. That's God just knocking on the door of your heart saying, come home. It's time to come home. Maybe you've been away from God for a little while. It's time this morning to come home. Just one more moment. One more moment. Incredible. Incredible. Come on, together as a church family, why don't we pray this loud in prayer? Say, God, today, I choose to believe in Jesus, that he came, that he died, that he rose again to forgive me of all my sin, wash me brand new, make me clean, and give me a new life. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead me from this moment on. In my everyday, would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you walk with me? Today I confess I'm a brand new creation in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, why don't we celebrate? Every person online, if you made a decision this morning.
We trust that you were encouraged.